It's time for Sacred Conversations on WZMO. Marian pastors gathered around a kitchen table with coffee and donuts chatting. Let's listen in.
Welcome back to Sacred Conversations, 30-minute episode of Christian Pastors in Marian, talking about our Christian faith. I am Father Ed Shakina, the pastor of Sacred Hearts Catholic Church in Cardington, as well as St. Mary's Catholic Church in Marian. And I've got with me today two of my colleagues.
Yeah, Pastor Chuck Osborne of Dayspring Wesleyan Church.
Reverend Adam Sorche, pastor of St. John Lutheran Windfall at Cardington.
And today in our episode, we are focusing on the Gospel of John, where it is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. In the Catholic Church, we read this particular gospel reading on the fifth Sunday of Lent. I'll ask Pastor Adam to read this gospel passage for us.
Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring to merely sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe in this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." When she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, And Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to him, Unbind him and let him go. This ends our reading.
Okay, thanks, Pastor Adam. So that was definitely a long reading. We were just talking right before we started recording. Should we just give sort of a summary of that gospel reading? I think it was we had to read it because all the lines that are written are actually quite intentional. They're not. It's just not, you know, just giving us a nice little story that we say, okay, that's nice, but that each line really is packed with so much meaning. Again, in the Catholic Church, this falls during Lent. This is from the Gospel of John. The week before it is also from the Gospel of John, the man born blind. The reading the week before that is the Samaritan woman at the well. So there's very intentionality of these readings that the Catholic Church and the lectionary is giving to us. And I think it's because, and as I've said before, with the Gospel of John, there's always this movement from darkness to light, and this movement going from unbelief to belief. And so as we're heading towards Easter, especially with our particular, those who are looking into becoming Catholic at the Easter Vigil, they've been going through this preparation process and learning about the Catholic faith. And so they're slowly, as they're journeying towards Easter, moving from unbelief to belief, moving from darkness to light. And so in the same way, we hear John himself in each particular story, we kind of see this going from darkness to light, or going from unbelief to belief. And in this particular story, very concretely, going from death to life with Lazarus being raised from the dead by Jesus. And so, you know, Pastor Adam, do you use this particular story in Lent?
Yeah, we follow the Revised Common Lectionary, which very much parallels, and it's kind of a somewhat of a joint project, I believe, in the history with the Catholic Church and other Protestant groups, so mainline Protestant groups. So we have the same cycle of readings, years A, B, and C, and year A right now. And so we're getting these rich texts during Lent, as you're saying, really building up. And really makes sense going into kind of the Easter, as moving from Lent to the Easter season, kind of seeing this, you know, progression of what it means to be, if we're talking about Jesus being our Passover and our sacrifice, like taking us from darkness into light, from death into new life, from, you know, slavery into freedom, yeah. Right? Like, this is what we're getting here. I think this is one of my favorite gospel lessons in particular, too, because part of it was used for my mother's funeral. She had died from lung cancer back in 2007. And one of the reasons why, you know, we chose this is I think any of us that have lost someone that are grieving, and one of the stages of the grief process can be anger, right? And when that lament can be directed towards God. And Mary and Martha are open with that, right? If you had been here, my brother would not have died, right? So there was a human element to that that I liked. And then the other part of it is Jesus weeping. That we have a God who took on our flesh, our humanity, and also knows what it's like to grieve, also knows what it's like to lose someone. And so that we're not in that pain alone, that there is an intimate solidarity, that this God knows that pain and loss. And so it's such a rich text in so many ways, but that's one of the reasons why we chose it for my mother's funeral.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, he can definitely identify with us with you know, with death and with grieving, and so that I think that gives comfort to know that our God, Jesus, definitely knows what it's like to grieve and to mourn. Pastor Chuck, do you use this particular text during Lent, or is there a certain time of the year?
Not necessarily. We don't have, you know, kind of lectionary like you guys do. We just kind of pick and choose, you know, okay, where we want to go. We usually do thematic stuff, and okay, so You know, currently we're looking at decisions that Jesus made going to the cross, because our theme this year is three crosses, two choices, one decision is kind of what we're basing some stuff off. And so we're kind of looking at decisions that Jesus made. But this but this passage is actually one I use a lot in funerals too, because of that question. You know, Lord, like you were saying, Lord, if because we just recently did a funeral for a kid that shot himself, 19 years old. And I think a lot of people ask the question, you know, of themselves, if I would have noticed, if I would have been there, if I would have done something different, you know, what would have this been like, you know? And and I think the if question is a, you know, it's a thinking that kind of looks like the past. And even if we knew the answers, I'm not sure that we'd be happy with the answers, you know? And some answers can only be opened up when we're in heaven, right, you know? And I like what you were saying about, you know, even Jesus weeping and, you know, you've got this, you know, this God that identifies with, you know, his people. But man, at first it seems like it almost seems like he doesn't care. know, he's like, oh, you're sick. Okay. I'll be here a couple of days. You know, like, I mean, if one of your parishioners called up and said, I'm in the hospital, and you're like, yeah, you know, we'll get there at some point, you know, they'd be like, what? You know, and here, I mean, these are people that they were deeply rooted with Jesus, right? You know, I mean, it says that the one lady, you know, washed her hair, you know, on his feet, you know what I mean? Like, so they were deeply moved by Jesus, had a close relationship, and Jesus is like, ah, we'll wait a couple of days and then go. And now he's dead, and it's like, oh. You know, so it almost seems like he's uncaring, but we understand, and it gives us in the text, is to show his glory, right?
Right.
You know, and then, but then at that moment, you know, and man, I would think that would weigh on you too, like, because you've probably all been asked the question, if you would have done things differently, if you would have been here, like, you know, that weighs on you, right? You know, and so I love that moment where you just see this true compassion of Jesus. You know?
I think it even helps us to, you know, we could even question God and say, you know, God, where were you when this thing happened?
Right.
And why weren't you there?
Right.
And it kind of, there's a kind of a theological meaning behind, you know, like Jesus, he was intentionally delaying going there. So, and then saying that he was glad that he did not go there, so that, you know, he could then raise Lazarus from the dead and God would be glorified. And he's sort of giving us this understanding when we ourselves might ask that question, where is God in this particular moment? That, in fact, you know, what seems like a delay, you know, God has his own plan for what's going to happen. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it's okay that, you know, somebody's died. But, you know, it kind of gives us a better understanding that, you know, God can bring a greater good out of this particular evil.
Well, even when you've been talking thematically about, like, you know, darkness to light, like, it's interesting within that text too that probably what we see as an end, like when he says he's dead, for us that's like, well, that's over. Like, there's nothing now that you can do, you know. But Jesus' first reference was, well, he's asleep, you know. And they're like, oh, well, then he'll wake back up. And then he's like, no, he's actually dead. you know, like, well, why'd you tell us that? you know, like, but you just wonder sometimes too what we see as dead is, you know, for God who can do anything, it's a mere sleep to him. You know,
I think,
I mean?
Yeah, and I think even the line that, you know, he's been in the tomb 4 days and there's going to be a stench is to make it very clear.
Yeah,
he really is dead.
Yes,
yeah. He's not just pretending, or we don't just think he's dead. But no, it's like,
and that cloth he has on him is no joke. I mean, that's like heavy stuff that you have to have on you, you know.
And so Jesus, you know, his line is that this is to end in God's glory. And so do we trust God that when it seems like there is a delay in his answering, when there is a delay in he doesn't really come toward the rescue that we were hoping for, do we trust that he's going to be, he's still going to, you know, bring, I always tell people, you know, evil will never has the last say. You know, God's always going to have an answer to evil. Doesn't mean that it's okay for us to sin, but if bad things happen, we can even trust that God can bring a greater good out of it. Huh. And so, you know, sort of be at peace or have that note of hope, you know, so don't fall into despair.
Well, and Lazarus, I mean, it's the raising of Lazarus, but it, you know, some scholars, I think, would call it the resuscitation of Lazarus as a split hairs, because Lazarus would die again. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, like, he's not resurrected in the same way that Jesus will be resurrected. But it is pointing to Jesus' resurrection, right? And the thing that I find interesting in our culture, right? Like, if this were to happen right now, the focus would be on Lazarus and what you experienced.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, the kind of near-death experience. The focus would be, what was that?
Yeah.
And the scriptures don't... Nobody in this scene seems to care. What was it like, Lazarus, being dead? You know, they're amazed by this. And there's another story where Jesus raises the son for a widow.
Yeah.
Right? He does that for the widow's sake.
Yeah.
So, right? I mean, like, and again, nobody's really like, and they're happy for the widow. They're not necessarily being like, what was the experience? And I think, you know, in some ways we're more, our culture, and this is within church culture, could be more obsessed about stories about people going to, dying on earth and going to heaven rather than the God who came from heaven came down to earth, right? And like, and being able to trust in the promise that even Mary and Martha echo in here. You know what I mean? That it's like, you know, on the last day, you know, there'll be the resurrection. Like, do we trust that? I think, and I'm, again, not diminishing people's actual experiences that are near death or, you know, or those testimonies, but I think sometimes we look for things outside, right, to give ourselves some security other than the fact that this is the promise we have in Jesus, right? And leaning on that promise, right?
Yeah, it's also interesting, too, because there's parallels then to Jesus' own resurrection then later.
Yeah,
too, you know,
yeah.
Because from this perspective, they have to roll away the stone. And where Jesus
they have to unbind them.
Yes, and where Jesus is in the tomb, he you know, that all happens from within, you know, out and stuff. And so, again, showing his glory over over humanity, you know, so.
Yeah, and even there's the stone, you know, Jesus says, take away the stone. So the word for scandal in Greek means a stumbling block.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially somebody who is scandalized in the religious sense is, you know, they have this faith in God, and then something happens that scandalizes them, that makes them think, wow, maybe God's not real, you know, and so that's kind of a stumbling block towards in their faith life. And yet here's Jesus, when he says, remove the stone from the tomb, it's almost like he's saying, remove these stumbling blocks from our own eyes, or remove these stumbling blocks from our, you know, that's blocking our faith. And, you know, and when that happens, then we really can come to life, be resurrected, and be enlightened, and be freed. And so it's just the theme always seems to be, with Jesus, you go from, you know, death to life, or enslavement to freedom, darkness to light. You know, this is always the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I think it's just a beautiful story. And, you know, I wonder if there's anything else that we could take away from this particular story that...
I think the questions that he asked the ladies as well, you know, like, do you believe, is a question that he keeps... I mean, it's always coming up, right? Like, do you really believe? Like, and she's like, yeah, I believe. And then, but she almost gives like, well, I believe it's going to happen later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's like, I'm going to show you now, you know, kind of thing and stuff. So, but you just wonder, you know, a lot of us through some of the situations in life, man, you know, probably the question has to be asked of us, you know, do you believe, do you stay faithful? Is this going to take away from your faith? You know, and the good news is for them is, you know, for Mary Martha, it was like, no, we still believe, you know, I'm not necessarily sure they believed that he was going to resurrect Lazarus there.
Yeah, sure.
You know, but their belief was still there. Then he's just like, well, let me show you something else. Then.
Yeah, because the belief in the resurrection, that was the Pharisees held that, right?
Like, right,
and
right.
You know, Jesus in that, kind of in that the ideological group would have believed in the resurrection of the body and the last day, and it seems like Mary and Martha were totally on board with that,
right?
You know, and but he's saying like, but that's coming now,
right?
Like this is happening now.
And there's, you know, so there's kind of a notion, a slow notion of, you know, believing. And again, we go back to the other stories of like the man born blind and the Samaritan woman at the well. You know, there's this slow coming to belief. So at first when the woman at the well and the blind man meet Jesus, they first see him as just this man who I encountered, and maybe they knew his name was Jesus. And then you hear in those stories, eventually they say, well, you know, I think he's a prophet. And then eventually in the end, they say, you know, he is Lord, and then they worship him. The man born blind, he worships Jesus. And so I think it's also a reminder that in our own faith life, you know, it's not like a switch where we just go from, okay, I didn't believe before, and then now I believe, and then my faith is, you know, at 100%. You know, there's going to be times when we might either fall backwards, and then we start to move back forward again, or there are times when we might just feel like, why is my faith life, you know, I still don't believe fully, and I know I don't, and I'm kind of frustrated, you know, but the spiritual life itself is a journey. And so we need to be patient with ourselves, and it's okay if you know within yourself that you don't fully have that trust in the Lord or have that full belief. I mean, you could say intellectually, yeah, okay, I've been taught Jesus is God and I should worship Jesus. But personally, we might say, I still don't fully trust God.
Yeah.
You know, we still might fall in our faith life at times. Yeah. And so it's okay. Just the point is just keep trying.
Well, God is faithful. I mean, that's what we cling to, is the promise that God is faithful.
God himself is faithful.
It was too. I remember doing a message. I can't remember the context of it all, but I remember in the message saying, you know, talking about miracles and stuff that God did, and was talking about, you know, I've never seen somebody that could not speak all of a sudden be able to speak. I've never seen somebody that cannot hear all of a sudden be able to hear. You know, in the physical terms, but I have seen people who, it's almost like they didn't have a good word to say, then all of a sudden something comes alive in them and they're able to speak with some truth or some wisdom. There's some people that, who have sat around and for whatever reason, they've only heard one thing about themselves, and then somebody else speaks, you know, something in their life, and all of a sudden they're here. And then I made the statement, and I've never seen somebody that has died come back to life. And after the message, somebody came up to me and they're like, yes, you have. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, I remember at camp. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Because we had somebody, we had one of our guys have a heart attack, die in front of all the students. They came to God and they said he's been dead for so long, probably going to have brain damage, you know, even if we get him back to life and all this. And so, and then I remember seeing, like, he did come back to life. And it took us a while, but I was like, that's crazy. Yeah. But the illustration even there was, I think that there are some things that, like, in a practical sense, there are some of us who have been dead to certain sins in our life, and when Christ got a hold of us, he redeemed those moments, those who were, you know, trapped in drugs and addictions, and all of a sudden, like, God brings them out, and now they have new life and something else, you know. And so so we've seen that more of the practical ways necessarily than this moment that they saw, you know. Yeah. But that moment gives me hope that in some of the times that I feel like I'm just dying inside, like, God can bring life to those areas, you know. So,
good reflection.
Well, this is kind of a side, but you know, the beloved disciple, we associate, so some associate that with being John, right, the apostle, and whatnot. Could it be Lazarus? Because in the text here, it says, so the sister sent a message to Jesus, Lord, he whom you love is ill. And then when Jesus is weeping, they say, see how much he loved him. Mm-hmm. And that's the only other time I think you see an instance of them kind of declaring that he loves somebody. Right? Like,
Yeah, you also have Thomas in the story too, which is interesting.
Thomas the let's go die. Let's go die with him.
Because we always see him as the doubter, right? Oh, he's a little more aggressive than we thought. So, like, I think he gets a bad rap in other
He gets situation. A really bad rap, and I'm sure we'll talk about that, you know, around Easter time. But, like, Thomas, I think, he gets the bad rap where, in essence, he says, I want to worship the real thing.
Yeah.
He goes, I don't want a ghost. I don't want an hallucination.
Right.
I want to see Christ crucified, which is what Paul says in his letters. Right? We preach Christ crucified, right?
Right.
That's what he's saying with the wounds. He's like, I want to see it. I want the real thing. Mm-hmm. And Jesus shows I'm the real deal.
Yeah,
it's a resurrected body.
Right.
But this isn't grief-stricken hallucination. This isn't a ghost. This is him.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I just throw that out there as kind of like, you know, and then I know there's some thought, like, you know, from a literary perspective, is the beloved disciple us, where we put Ooh. Ourselves at the Ooh. Foot of the cross. We put ourselves yeah. in those, you know,
yeah.
in those spaces. And that's a neat way to kind of devotionally even read those texts, right? In John, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I just kind of, I don't know if many people think of Lazarus that way, you know?
Well, following along those lines of, you know, that you can make some connections, even the rich man and Lazarus story in Luke, where that Lazarus is a man who Jesus tells the story of this Lazarus who is poor, and the rich man, you know, always ignores him and, you know, steps over him and all that. And at the very end, you know, the Lazarus dies, and then the rich man dies, and, you know, the rich man's the one that's in hell. And he says, send Lazarus to my brothers and tell them, you know, hey, change your life. Jesus says, well, you know, they have Moses and the prophets, and let them listen to him. And the rich man says, well, no, if they would just, you know, listen to Lazarus, who's, he could tell them. And Jesus says, well, you know, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they listen to a man who was raised from the dead. And, you know, so that obviously would refer, first of all, to him, Jesus himself, being the one raised from the dead. But we could say maybe that story, that the Luke's version, the way he's telling it, refers to this real man, Lazarus, who is raised from the dead. Mm. And, so he's testifying to who Jesus is, that Jesus indeed is God. And yet we have this story of, we know the Pharisees and scribes still don't believe, you know, Lazarus is risen from the dead, and they still don't believe in Jesus. And so, you know, I don't know. That's just So, in any case, so, you know, this is, there's so many, again, we always talk about, this is why it's good to meditate on the scriptures. There's so many different meanings that can come from this. And the reason why it's good to meditate is because you, in particular, in your own life, maybe there's a particular meaning for you that you might take away that maybe perhaps we haven't mentioned. I think if somebody who's listening to this feels like, you know, you're spiritually dead, maybe you feel like, you know, my faith life is so dead, it can never come back. You know, there's a stench, you know, and, you know, with this, the good news is, even, you know, if we just simply have that faith and turn to the Lord, for sure, even Jesus can resurrect our own faith life and our own spiritual life. And so have hope.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah. And don't be deterred by the stones that are in your way or the things that are binding you.
Yeah.
Because the gospel in it is good news that through forgiveness, through grace, through mercy, the stones are moved away. Where God's love unbinds us and lets us go free to share that love with all people.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you everybody for joining us. I'm Father Ed Shekina, the pastor of St. Mary in Marion, as well as Sacred Hearts in Cardington. And our Mass times are at St. Mary's. It's Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and then Sunday mornings at 8, 11 a.m. and then 1 p.m. in Spanish. In Cardington, it is at 4:30 p.m. on Saturday evening, and then 9 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Yeah, I'm Pastor Chuck Osmond at Dayspring. Our normal service times are at 9:30 and 11 Easter. We're going to add an 8 a.m. service as well.
Reverend M. Sorchai, Pastor of St. John Lutheran Church, Windfall, Cardington. And our worship times are Saturday at 5 and Sunday at 10 a.m.
Okay, thank you for listening. God bless you.
Sacred Conversations is heard twice a week on WZMO. Check our website program schedule for times. Or you can hear the program on demand from our website anytime. Thank you for listening.